The Pepsin and Show, starring Bob Hope.
If your tax envelope has left you with a mope, here's Pepsin and Show, gloom defense that get up get Bob Hope.
Oh, thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Rubber Shortage Hope telling you I can't help you get new casings, but Pepsodent will help you get new kissings. Or. This is Bob Tire Conservation Hope telling you if you change to Pepsodent, your teeth will always have white sidewalls, you'll get better mileage, and never need a new set of treads in your head. Everyone is talking about the rubber shortage, and I'm finally convinced that the rubber shortage must be really be acute now. This afternoon, I saw Mr. O'Sullivan walking around without heels. Naturally, you can't throw away rubber now, so I had a pretty busy day today. I've been standing in line down at the garage waiting to get my bubble gum vulcanized. You know, the rubber situation is pretty serious. Remember how women used to be victimized by purse snatchers? Now they got to watch out for girdle grabbers. The women will have to sacrifice and keep wearing their old girdles, and that's no snap. You know, everyone has to make sacrifices. The first day my girl walked down the street without a girdle, the rumor went around that Kate Smith was in town. But it had no foundation. And you have to be awful careful these days, the way everyone is stealing rubber. Some poor guy had a suspender stolen on Hollywood Boulevard yesterday, and his pants fell down. But luckily, I was wearing my long underwear at the time. And today, I saw one of the dead-end kids rolling a new tire past my house, so I said, what did it take for that tire? He said, I don't know. What'd you pay for it? You know, you can save your tires by putting your brakes on easy and by starting up slow at red lights. I started up slow when a light turned green this morning, and I drove 32 miles with three cars from Pasadena on my roof. They're looking everywhere for rubber. Last week, my cousin was blessed with a bouncing baby boy, and the Firestone Company put in a bid. A friend of mine buried a rubber tire in his backyard. A gopher got in and walked around inside for 20 minutes. And he said, this is a beautiful tunnel, but where does it end? Picture, like after picture, the gopher walking around the tire. Remember those automobile rides when the girls used to walk home to save a reputation? Now they both walk home to save their tires. But just think, this spring you won't have tires to drive out to Santa Anita, bet on the races that aren't being held, and lose the money you won't have left after March 15th. And there's a big shortage of cars, too. There must be a shortage of cars. Yesterday, two pedestrians got home alive. But out here, we don't mind the shortage of cars so much. The way the California drivers steer, it looks as though there's just as many. This morning, I passed a new car sales room and saw a big sign in the window. It said, help, but car... Jag said, help, too. But cars aren't so necessary. Abe Lincoln used to walk 6 miles to school, and he got his face on a dollar bill. Yesterday, I walked across Hollywood Boulevard, and I got my face under a Pontiac. When they stop making cars, it'll be hard getting used to walking again. Today, I walked into a filling station, and through force of habit, they polished my nose, poured water down my shirt front, and pumped 20 pounds of air in my overshoes. Bear a half a lung from skinny. We may have to go back to the days of the horse and buggy, but at least we won't have to buy buggy whips. We can use the aerials off our cars. That's not funny. That's sort of cute. I'll whip the rider when I catch him, too. And can you imagine walking down Hollywood Boulevard and seeing horses on the street and some of them in slacks on the sidewalk? You folks get around, don't you? But I don't see anything wrong in riding horses. My grandmother used to ride a horse till the day Crosby fired her. And a lot of people have taken up roller skating. I thought I'd try it, so yesterday I put on a pair of skates and started down Franklin Hill. I was flapping my arms to keep my balance, and two old women watched me for a minute, then one turned to the other and said, "Let's stick around, Agnes. Maybe he's going to lay another egg." Those two old girls again. You should have seen somehow some of the bosses arrive at the studio. Their chauffeurs are on roller skates carrying them piggyback. And everyone is practicing riding a bike. And today I took my first lesson on a bike, and I did very well. I only fell off the bike twice. Tomorrow I'm going to try a two-wheeler. But really, everybody has started riding bicycles again. I saw Edward Arnold walking down the street yesterday, and I said, "You know, Ed, you ought to start riding a bicycle." And he said, "Look closely, I am." I took Hedy Lamarr I took Hedy Lamarr bicycling yesterday. We were on wheels. Over all the big hills, over all the big hills. I took Hedy Lamarr bicycling yesterday. Overall, just a second. I took Hedy Lamarr bicycling yesterday. Over all the big hills around here, and it was a lot of fun, but I kept falling off the handlebars. I'm really an expert bicycle rider, though. I was riding down in front of my house, and I turned to some friends and said, "Look, no hands." And you should have heard the cheers. I disappeared down that open manhole. W.C. Fields is an expert on a bike. He can stunt, he can pedal, he can brake, and boy, how he can handle bars. Bing! Isn't that a sneaky one? Oh. Bing has a bicycle built for two. It sure looks cute as they go by, just him and the stork flapping along. But Bing is really doing his bit for the country. You know, Crosby sent all his horses to the cavalry, but they sent them right back with a note saying, "No thanks, they did their part in the last war." But there isn't enough iron left to make bicycle clips, and it's pretty uncomfortable riding around with the ends of your trousers tucked between your toes. And since the silk shortage, the girls are painting stockings on their legs with spray guns. The first time I ever saw a girl stop and straighten her seams with a flit gun. Even the finance company is saving on paper. They aren't sending me bills anymore, but it's embarrassing having that big bill tattooed on my forehead. And every year I've been sending to Charles Atlas for my new muscles. This year he sent back retreads. But there's one man in this program who knows all about shortages, Professor Colonna. Professor? Professor?
They discovered one at the place where I work.
Colonna, you look a little upset this evening. Is anything wrong?
Yes, Hope. Our country needs rubber, and I have turned out to be a rat, a louse. Our country needs rubber badly. And Hope, I tell you, I'm not fit to live. I'm not fit to live.
Why, Colonna, what happened?
This morning, I swallowed my gum.
Good without that other gag in front of us. Professor, since you know there's a shortage of rubber tires, what are you doing to help the situation?
I'm leaving my car in the garage, and I'm riding an elephant down to work morning.
Colonna, you ride an elephant to work mornings? Doesn't he look odd in the rest of the traffic?
Of course not. I had him simonized. Yesterday, when I was coming down Sunset Boulevard on the elephant, I met a woman driver.
What happened?
Know where I can buy a secondhand trunk cheap?
Colonna, you are without doubt...
Yes, they kept him after school today.
Colonna, what's the matter with you anyway?
Well, Hope, I never tell this to anybody, but you see, I was 3 years old when I was born.
You were 3 years old when you were born? How do you account for the delay?
Stork liked to play gin rummy.
Colonna, you sound like a man who's holding something back.
Well, Hope, I'll confess. I never told this to anyone either, but 30 years ago...
Yes?
I was left on a doorstep as a baby.
Oh, how cruel. 30 years ago, you were left on a doorstep as a baby. Then what happened?
Nothing. I'm still living there.
Colonna, let's get back to the rubber shortage. What are you doing to conserve your tires?
Well, I worked out a simple scheme. I used two at a time and put them on my car, corner caddy.
Colonna, caddy corners.
Corner caddy.
Caddy corners.
Corner caddy.
Caddy corners.
What's the difference? Somebody swiped them anyway.
I love it. Colonna, I heard that you were aiding in this emergency by riding around on horseback.
That's right, Hope, but this afternoon I made a little mistake. I galloped up to a gas pump and told him to put in 20 gallons. Then you should have seen that horse fly. 2 minutes later, someone gave him a lump of sugar.
Why does that prove the horse was flying Kelowna? Horses are always being given lumps of sugar.
Yes, but not by airmail pilots.
You know, Kelowna, there are a lot of shortages. For instance, I'm having a problem with my sugar.
What's that?
Kelowna, my sugar.
Oh, too bad you didn't speak sooner. I got engaged yesterday.
Seriously, Kelowna, you shouldn't hoard sugar, I know you're hoarding. I saw you hurrying down the street the other night with a big bag.
Sir, you're speaking of the woman I love.
Kelowna, you leave me limp.
All right, but only 5 pounds to a customer.
Getting back to shortages, Professor, do you know there's even a shortage of oil?
Nonsense. Hope I know where there's plenty of oil.
You do?
Yes, a whale drifted into my backyard yesterday.
Kelowna, how in the world could a whale drift into anybody's backyard?
This your first trip to California, bud?
Kelowna, why must you talk this way?
Well, you see, Hope, this is something I never told anybody either. It's a terrible secret.
What is it, Kelowna?
Well, 4 years ago, I killed my landlady. 6 years ago, I killed her brother. 7 years ago, I killed her uncle.
You killed all those people? Then how come you're still walking around?
I can't get an appointment with the D.A.
Professor, shortages, remember?
Yes.
What's the matter?
You expect me to stand here and look at your nose and talk about shortages?
Listen, Lace Lip, this situation is serious. For instance, the government says there's a shortage of gas. What are you laughing at?
Don't listen to our program, do they?
Well, Kelowna, I can see you're not patriotic.
Don't be silly, Hope. I'm very patriotic. All this week, I've been busy collecting defense bonds.
You mean you've been collecting defense bonds?
Blondes.
Bonds.
Blondes.
Bonds.
Well, you have your fun, and I'll have mine.
Well, Kelowna, you get under my skin.
No, you get under my skin. Please use side entrance. See, that reminds me, Hope, you know the side entrance of my house? Well, right outside there, some soldiers have installed an Uncle Aircraft gun.
Kelowna, you mean an anti-aircraft gun.
Well, it's so hard to tell when they wear flats.
Professor, in view of the emergency created by the rubber shortage, have you a message to the women of America who have sacrificed their girdles?
Yes. Women of America? Chunky little rascals, aren't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Hope and Company have a new sponsor starting tonight. This is the first announcement of it. Folks, I'm proud to tell you, our new sponsor is an old friend in a new dress, a real smoothie, the new Pepsodent toothpaste. The new improved Pepsodent toothpaste is one of the smoothest, one of the best tasting toothpaste you've ever known. It's snowy white, creamy, with a flavor that tastes like springtime. And it's more active. Works faster. That's because it's more irium active. Did you get that? More irium active. The new improved Pepsodent toothpaste contains 180% more irium than before. 180% more. Don't wait another day to try this delightful new Pepsodent toothpaste. Your drug counter is stocked with this new Pepsodent, so go down tonight and get a tube for a new thrill. Thank you, Curly. Thank you.
Here's Francis Lang putting the Sixth Sister to this, ladies and gentlemen, singing You Made Me Love You.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it, I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so sad. You made me sigh, for I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I want some love that's true. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Indeed, I do. Gimme, gimme, gimme what I cry for. Know you got the brand the kisses I sigh for. You know you made me love you.
I didn't wanna, but baby you made me. I didn't wanna, but baby you made me. You made me love you.
I didn't wanna do it.
For the six hits for the Miss Singing, You Made Me Love You. And the way you sang that, Frances, you made me love you.
Now, Bob, don't start giving me your line again.
Why, Frances, in all the time you've been on this program, I've been a perfect gentleman, haven't I? I've never kissed you or tried to hug you or hold your hand, have I?
No, Bob.
Is your brother really a cop? Say, Frances, it was nice of you to come down to Paramount to watch me make my new picture with Madeline Carroll.
Oh, yes, Bob, I want to thank you for that wonderful time I had. I especially like going on that guided tour with all those other people.
Well, I was hoping you liked it, Frances, and all those people certainly learn a lot from those guided tours, don't they?
Yes, Bob. I thought you explained everything very nicely.
Just goes to show you what can happen when you don't read the small print on your contract. But, Frances... That's nice, quiet material, you will admit. But, Frances, at lunchtime, did you see the big fuss that everybody made over me when I came in the commissary?
Well, no wonder, Bob. They all had to move their tables while you were sweeping.
I wasn't sweeping. I was doing my imitation of Harry Lauder in the whisk broom drag. Thank you, Verna.
Thank you, Verna.
Verna loved it. By the way, Frances, did you notice my dressing room at Paramount? My dressing room window faces Maddie's dressing room window.
Yes, and that's a cute idea she has. Barbed wire curtains.
Now, Fran, you give the people the impression that Maddie doesn't trust me. Why don't you admit that her dressing room is right next to mine, separated by nothing but a moat filled with man-eating sharks? But really, it's a lot of fun making a picture with Madeline Carroll.
Bob, I hear there's been a little trouble there with the way you were acting towards Madeline Carroll.
Why, that's not so at all. I'm very nice to Madeline.
Really?
Certainly. Well, I understand that next week they're considering adding another foot to my chain. But, Frances, don't I make a romantic figure in my love scenes with Madeline?
Oh, yes, Bob. I love the way the light in your brown eyes shines on the bags below.
Frances, those aren't bags under my eyes. I'm making a picture with Madeline Carroll, and those are still my eyes.
And another thing, Bob. When you make a picture, you always worry too much of what the audience is going to think of you.
Why? What makes you say that?
Well, in that scene where all the German spies are chasing you and Madeline, you don't have to run up to the camera every few minutes and say, "Remember, folks, I'm one of the good guys."
Anyway, Frances, I hope you notice that at Paramount, I'm treated with a lot of respect.
You are?
Yes, when they're ready to shoot the scene, the director says, "All right, Mr. Hope, we're ready for you, sir."
That's funny. When I was there, all he said was, "Get ready, boys. Hope's going to ham one up again." But I'm only kidding, Bob. Skinny Innes, Betty Hutton, Ben Gage, and myself all think you're a great actor. And we went around telling that to everybody.
Oh, thanks, Frances. That was nice of you. After all, I don't like to blow my own horn.
Well, just keep a firm grip on our options, Bob, and you've got a brass section for life. See you later.
Well, thank you, Frances. I love the way she takes her bow. She gives a legitimate theater, you know. She just walks up to the...
That's things they're supposed to applaud for.
I used to bow like that when I had money. Oh, damn the shot. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege to present one of Hollywood's finest actors and comedians, soon to be seen in the Warner Brothers picture Arsenic and Old Lace, Mr. Edward Everett Horton. Hey,
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Did you like that introduction, Eddie?
Oh, my, it was nice, wasn't it? What I mean is it sounded so sincere. Do you always sound so sincere, Bob?
No, but I'm getting a little practice. I appear before my draft board tomorrow.
You're appearing before the draft board? My goodness, they must be desperate for men.
Why, what's wrong with me, Eddie?
Why, nothing, Bob. Nothing at all. I just thought they were taking the young fellows first.
Oh, I'm ready to go any minute, but I've got the pendant.
I suppose you have, but isn't that overdoing it, walking up and down in front of the draft board all day long with baby snooks in your arms?
Yeah, gee, it's pretty heavy, too. I almost dropped my cane.
Tell me, Bob, about this place.
Nobody understands that.
No, no, no. Well, tell me,
including
Bob,
me.
About this place. What part of it do they build here in this room?
Oh, just a minute, Edward. This is NBC. No one's building anything. I'm just in here to tell jokes.
My word, you mean there's a place this size left in Los Angeles where they don't make airplanes?
Why, Eddie, whatever gave you the idea that they were making airplanes here?
Well, Bob, when I came in, you were standing, so all I could see was your profile, and boy, oh boy, just look at that propeller.
Well, it comes in handy for frying tires off parked cars, but I want to welcome... I want to welcome you to the Pepsodent Show, Eddie. By the way, have you seen the new cans of tooth powder Pepsodent is putting out?
Bob, this is no time to discuss my salary.
Look, Everett, I mean, Eddie, say, where'd you get that middle name?
Everett? Oh, well, my father reads history books. What's your middle name?
Panatella. My old man reads cigar wrappers.
Seriously, Bob, you mean you haven't got a third name that people call you by?
Well, yes, I have.
What is it?
Oh, it's hardly worth going off the air for. By the way, do you listen to our show, Ed?
Oh, yes, I always tune in on your show, Bob, and you are one of the funniest men on the radio today.
Well, that's quite a compliment you've given me.
Well, this is quite a script you've given me, Bob. I've often wondered, why are you wasting your time in radio?
Edward, radio happens to be one of the most important mediums of expression in the world today. Every moment on the air is precious.
That's what I mean. Why are you wasting time in radio?
You've been talking to my sponsor, but I thought I was doing all right, Eddie. Well, I've been on this program 4 years.
Really? Well, I don't see why you spent your time so foolishly. In 4 years, you could have gone through high school.
Well, I went to high school. At least I went 2 years.
Why didn't you finish?
Well, by that time, I got so I could figure out the Esquire cartoons, and what else does a guy need?
Oh, yeah. That's very funny. The Esquire cartoons? Are there cartoons in Esquire? I never noticed them.
Would you like to appear on Hobby Lobby?
Appear on Hobby Lobby, isn't this it? Oh, did I say something funny? What was it? Well, anyhow, Bob, I want to thank you for bringing me down here to the studio tonight, even if the ride was a little rough.
Oh, I didn't notice it.
No, Bob, don't you think it's being a little overcautious, riding with your tires inside your car?
I didn't put him in there, Eddie. I met a woman driver.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very glad to be here, Bob. You know I have a purpose in appearing here tonight. I'm going to turn over your check to the government.
Why, Eddie, that's mighty generous of you.
Well, you know, Bob, anything to help out during this rubber shortage.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What makes you think my check is rubber?
Well, I took it to the Bank of America, and the man handed it back to me, and he said, there's only one thing you can do with this. Have it retreaded.
Well, I've stood enough insults from my guest stars. How would you like to step outside for a few minutes and put up your fists?
Fists? Oh, how vulgar. Couldn't we just take off our coats right here and jab at each other with knitting needles?
Knitting needles? Where do you fight? At the Hollywood Legion Ladies Auxiliary?
Careful now, careful, careful, Hope. One more remark like that and I'll knit your nose into a doily. Oh, but don't get me wrong, Bob. Please, please. I like you. I like your program. Say, who is that? Who is that over there?
Oh, that's our announcer, Ben Gage.
My, he's tall, isn't he?
Tall. Twice already. He's had his hat shot off by the 4th Interceptor Command. By the way, I saw you last week at the El Capitan Theater here, Eddie,
oh.
And you were swell in your place. Springtime for Henry.
Oh, Bob, you're on my favorite subject. If I do say it myself, I made quite a bit of money.
Oh, you're going to be sorry around March 15th.
Why, March? What's March 15th?
That's Springtime for Henry Morgenthau. But I saw your play, Eddie, and your performance was great.
I saw you in Louisiana Purchase.
And my performance was...
And in Technicolor, too. But seriously, Bob, seriously, I thought you were terrific in Louisiana Purchase. Every scene you played was absolutely flawless. Your acting was superb, magnificent.
Honestly?
Must you create situations? No, no, you did show a lot of acting ability in the picture, though. You ran the gamut of emotions from A to Y.
A to Y. Don't you mean A to Z?
No, I mean A for awful to Y do they permit such things.
Does Jane Withers know about you? Look, does Jane Withers know about you? Anyhow, Eddie, I enjoyed seeing you in Springtime for Henry, and I laughed so much I thought I'd split.
If you don't get a new suit, you will.
What's wrong with the one I got on?
Well, it's too shiny, Bob. I'll bet they make you wear a Venetian blind over the seat during blackout.
You mean the blue cellophane isn't enough? But, Eddie, seeing you in a... You get something extra out of that joke? Over the right. Sure you got the number? Clean that up, I think. But Eddie, seeing you in that play brought back my days before the footlights.
Oh, yes, Bob, yes. I think I do remember seeing you on Broadway in Roberta. Didn't you introduce the hit song in that show?
Yes, I can still hear myself singing it. When a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes.
How did it ever become a hit?
Now, wait a minute. Don't insult my voice. Are you trying to insinuate that I murdered that song?
Oh, I wouldn't say that your voice murders a song, but you've got the kind of voice that should only sing the Japanese Sandman.
Say that again, and you won't be rising, son. I threw that in for our kid audience. Tell me, Eddie, what picture work have you been doing lately?
Well, I just finished making a new picture of Warner Brothers, Arsenic and Old Lace.
Arsenic and Old Lace? Which one are you? Say, it sounds like a... Arsenic and Old Lace sounds like a Mickey Finn and a doily.
It's a horror picture, Bob.
Oh, how nice. You know, I've appeared in some horror pictures, too.
I know, but this one is intentional.
That sounds like a reflection on my acting, old man. I resent it. I'll have you know that only last week the committee from the Academy Award came down to Paramount to watch me.
Yes, Bob, and I heard they took one look at your acting and ran out and called off the Academy Award dinner.
Eddie, for your information, your own producer at Warner Brothers was all set to give me one of the leading roles in Arsenic and Old Lace.
Really? You were supposed to play one of the leading roles?
Yes, but then he discovered his mistake.
What do you mean?
Well, he thought the title of the picture was Arsenic and Old Louse. Joke was received a little too bad.
Well, it's a very spooky picture, Bob. It's about two old ladies that murder all their male roomers.
Gosh, they really mean it when they tell you your week is up, huh? Mm.
Well, these two women in Brooklyn, you know, they just keep killing people. And the women do it, oh, so simply. They just get them to drink a glass of poisoned elderberry wine.
Well, in Hollywood, it's even simpler. They just get them to try to cross the streets.
It's certainly a strange hobby for two old ladies to have, killing people.
Well, I wouldn't be too harsh on them. You know, you can get awful sick of just gin rummy.
Well, they only gave this poisoned elderberry wine to old men who have passed the prime of life and for whom the future looks dark. You care to have the recipe?
No, I crossed with the red lights. I haven't got long to live, but I'd like to see how they poison those fellas. Eddie, could we act out a little of the picture right here?
Why, yes, I guess we could, but have we got anybody we could use for a corpse?
Yes, I think we have just the person.
Let me out of here. Let me out of here.
Who is that?
That's Skinny Ennis. See him over there? I thought we could use him for a corpse.
You don't think he's a little too far gone? So that is Skinny Ennis, huh?
Yes.
Oh, he must have had a lovely funeral.
Say, Edward, when you're not making pictures, what do you do in your spare
time?
Well,
I've got lots of hobbies. For one, I collect antiques.
Really? I collect antiques, too.
Yes, that's a remarkable relic you are dressed in today. Bob, I'm interested in antique dishes. Of course, they're hard to get. You know, I found it very difficult to pick up pieces of old china these days.
So have the Japs.
Da, da, da. You know, I collect many different kinds of antiques. I even collect old pots.
Oh, that sounds silly, a man going in for collecting old pots.
Oh, come now, Hope. I saw you with one at the Palladium last night. One of my most priceless possessions is a genuine vase of the Ming Dynasty. You see, Bob, that century was known as the Ming Dynasty because this man Ming has so many sons to carry on his name.
Oh, so you mean this century would be known as the Bing Dynasty?
Tell me, tell me, did you write that, Bob, or Hatchet?
Say, how do you find these antiques,
well,
Eddie?
Well, I explore old farmhouses through the countryside, and I remember one day I went to an old farmhouse and I met an 80-year-old farmer. He was really a character.
Well, let's show the folks, Eddie. I'll play the 80-year-old farmer.
Well, you won't need any makeup.
Give me the music. Bossy, it's getting late. I got to finish milking you. Bossy, stop holding back. I ain't playing tug of war, you know. That's all, Bossy. Hold the rest till the price goes up again. It's a mighty cold day. Everything's covered with ice. The yard's a solid sheet of ice, and everything skids away. First time I ever saw a chicken lay an egg with three other chickens standing around as outfielders. I better get into the house. Some old rocking chair. I've been sitting in this rocking chair for 19 years, rocking back and forth, getting tired of rocking back and forth. Wonder if I can rock it sideways. Yep. Can be done, but ain't advisable. Oh, here comes the mailman. Gosh, hope it's my calendar from Dr. Townsend. Oh, looky, here comes the city fella up the stairs. Gosh, wonder if I fix that loose stair. Well, I'll fix it tomorrow. By cracky, it's someone to see me. Guess I can manage to get to the door without McCain. Dern, better get up. He might think I'm Buddy Bear. I'll get up and open the door. Now I'll open the door. How do you do?
I'm from the city.
Well, step right in. Anyone from Azusa is welcome here.
Well, so you've heard about Azusa. It's easy to see you're no hick.
I sure ain't a hick, by cracky. I'm very sacusafated. I mean, sacafafooted. I'm smart. Say, who be you, anyhow?
Edward Everett Horton, Esquire.
How do you like that? It takes three people to deliver one little magazine. Stranger, you look frozen. Is it cold out?
Cold out? Why, of course it's cold out. It's very cold. You see my ears?
Nope.
Well, I'll give you an idea how cold it is. Say, what's that you have there? An ear trumpet? I said, is that an ear trumpet?
Well, what do you think I'm doing? Giving an imitation of Dumbo?
Well, with that nose, you could be. Glad to meet you, Pop.
And I'm glad to meet you, by gum and by cracky and by defense bonds, too. Say, what do you want here, anyhow?
Well, I told you before, I'm from the city.
Are you a traveling salesman?
Well, you could call me that.
If you're a traveling salesman, the joke's on you.
Why?
I ain't got any daughter.
You're all right, Pop. Let's shake hands.
All right, there. Did we shake hands yet?
Why, yes.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I ain't felt nothing but hot foot since 1888. Say, my circulation ain't what it used to be. Shove my knee over my leg, will you? Say, my circulation ain't what it used to be. Shove my knee over my leg, will you? My leg.
Say, goodness, you're about due for another grease job. Now, listen, rigor mortis. I haven't got all day. I thought you might have some antiques I could buy.
Antiques? What's them?
Well, you know, something old, something that's ready to fall apart.
Oh, yeah? Say, Mirandy, fella here to see you.
You mind if I browse around a minute? Ooh, look, what's this old thing over here in the corner?
Well, wait till I wipe the dust off it. Well, what do you know? It is Mirandy. Say, mister, about these antiques, do you pay good money?
Good money? Why, I once paid $10,000 for a Louis the 14th bed.
Tarnation, $10,000 for a Louis the 14th bed? What made it worth that much?
Louis was in it. But I'm looking for genuine antiques. For instance, I have here the first cigarette lighter ever made, and it's still in good condition. Watch. All I do is press this button. There. sometimes it works. Oh, my. Do you mind if I step into the bedroom here? My, my, my. This bed is pretty old, isn't it?
Yeah, Paul Revere slept in that bed.
Can you prove it?
Sure, take a look. Paul Revere's horse still sleeping. How is that possible? Drinks Ovaltine.
So you've got Paul Revere's horse, eh? I'd like to see him.
Oh, I don't know. He's a mighty peculiar horse. Keeps muttering to himself, one if by land, two if by sea. Whatever happens, don't let Crosby get me.
Crosby? Crosby? Who's Crosby? Oh, yes, that dollar bill with legs.
Say, maybe you'd be interested in buying the first Burma Shave ad.
How do you know it's the first Burma Shave ad?
Because the whole doggone poem written on one piece.
Mm. Oh, my, my, what do we hear? Oh, what a lovely spinning wheel. Yeah. Will you sell it to me?
Nope.
Well, why not? It's old. You can't use it anymore.
Sure can. These long winter evenings, we turn it sideways and put a record of Chattanooga Choo Choo on it.
Please, please, please. Say Chattanooga Choo Choo again, will you, Pop? I love the way your whiskers brush my coat off. Oh, my, look at that, look at that. What's this statue over here?
Oh, it's an original Venus de Milo.
Well, what's she doing with the Lux sign hanging around her neck?
Well, she's just helping out her brother, Cecil de Milo. Wonder where I can sell a joke like that.
You've asked the right man. I know Bob Hope personally. Hey, here's a real antique if I ever saw one. This rocker here.
Oh, that ain't no rocker.
It's not. Well, how come I can rock back and forth on it?
Well, it's just that the chair is so doggone old, all its termites are round-shouldered.
Why didn't they give you some elderberry wine?
Well, if you want to see a real antique, Bob, just take a look at this. My great-great-grandfather bought this over from France. Just grab this handle. Mm. That's right. Now, let's go.
Well, what do you know? The first pinball machine.
And here's the best antique I got. This old blunderbuss here.
Oh, my.
It was used to kill a king. It killed Edward the First. It sure is an old gun. Look down the barrel. It ain't loaded.
Okay.
Oh. Well, that makes Edward the Second. Betty Hutton, six of the Miss singing Dirty Lady Bird. All right, Betty.
Lady Bird, fly away home. Your heart's on fire, you'd better go home. Lady Bird, sure as you're born. Leave the boy blue, come blow your horn. Gonna be a shady Lady Bird. I got an awful lot to learn. But if you tell me that my heart's on fire, I'm gonna let it burn. I'm gonna be a shocking mockingbird. I'm gonna mingle with the best. I'm gonna try to find my heart's desire. I'm gonna rob the nest. Just like little Miss Muffet eating her Wyatt curd. When I act a bit tough, it frightens away the bird. I'm gonna be a slumming, humming bird. I'm gonna pass along the word. I'm gonna have my fun and never tire. And if my technique seems absurd, that's because I've never been a shady lady bird.
You're gonna be a shady lady bird. You've got an awful lot to learn. Shady, shady lady bird.
I'm gonna let it burn.
Gonna shock the mockingbird. You're gonna mingle with the best, baby. Look out.
I'm gonna rob the nest. Not like little Jack Horner eats his pudding pie. I won't sit in a corner saying what a good girl am I. Gonna be a wicked chickadee. I'm gonna set up on the fence. I'm gonna build myself a lovely dream. And if I don't use common sense, that's because I've never been a shady lady. A shady lady bird.
Because of the higher irium content, the new Pepsodent toothpaste acts quickly to loosen and flush away the sticky coating.
Yes.
And second, this exclusive polishing agent buffs teeth to such a shiny smoothness that coating slides off, doesn't collect and stain.
No.
Yes. So run your tongue over your teeth right now. You can tell in 2 seconds that you need the new high-speed action of this new Pepsodent toothpaste.
Yes, I'm doing it again.
And when you use it, You've got a thrill coming. It's so smooth, so tasty. It'll make your mouth feel like a fresh spring morning.
A fresh spring morning?
Go to your drug
with
counter
the fog
tonight.
And everything.
Get a tube of Pepsodent toothpaste.
You tease for you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we walk over to our bookshelf. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we walk over to our bookshelf. On one side, we have the great works of Shakespeare and Longfellow. And on the other side, we have the famous books of Poe and Dickens. And also in its rightful place, we find The Life of Bob Hope, They Got Me Covered. We take it out and very gently replace the lid. In the past weeks... In the past weeks, we have shown you how Robert grows up. In growing up, he passes through many periods. First, babyhood. We find him uttering his first words to the baby in the next crib.
Hi, babe.
Next, boyhood. And on his first day in school, Robert says to his teacher,
Hi, babe.
Next, manhood. On his first day in Hollywood, Robert sees a pair of slacks and says,
Hiya, babe. No, I guess not.
During his infancy, Robert's mother was very proud of him. And here we find her showing baby Robert to a neighbor for the first time.
Oh, Mr. Horton, look, I have a surprise for you. This is Robert.
Oh, my, how cute. But hasn't he got awfully large ears for a bloodhound?
You don't understand. This is my son, my boy, my baby.
Have you tried suing the hospital?
But Robert's mother cannot sue the hospital. They're still suing her. And so we continue telling the life of Bob Hope from his babyhood. From the time the loving parents of young Robert first try to make him stop crying.
Joe, let's take the handkerchief out of his mouth. He's turning blue.
So they take the handkerchief out of his mouth, and it was the best gag ever to pass Bob Hope's lips. And now his life continues. We see Robert as a child. When his mother wheels his carriage through the little town to an old ivy-clad building, a man comes to the door and says,
I told you before, madam, he ain't an orphan. You'll have to keep him yourself.
So his mother keeps him. Robert's mother was very proud of him. She used to put him up where all the neighbors could see him, where he was in plain sight of everyone. And she used to say,
Come on, folks, try your luck. It's only a nickel for three baseballs.
One baseball hits Robert in the face. And since then, he's had the only nose in the country that's shaped like a catcher's mitt. But Robert's mother took good care of her child. She used to read him the story of Little Red Riding Hood. And sad to relate, Bob always cheered for the wolf. Robert realizes that now he is a man and must start to earn a living. Robert himself can't decide about his future, so one day he looks into a crystal ball. He gazes long and deeply into the crystal ball until the genie inside says,
Get out of here, you peeping Tom.
Then things take a turn for the better. Bob Hope enters the meat business, and a year later,
X-ray, X-ray, Bob Hope makes $1 million.
Bob Hope enters the dancing school business, and a year later,
X-ray, X-ray, Bob Hope makes $2 million.
Then Bob Hope enters vaudeville, and a year later,
Here you are, get your paper, get your daily paper.
And now, Robert Hope comes to Hollywood and at once decides to make a name for himself in Hollywood's fastest growing industry. He goes to work. But the tires are glued on. Finally, he enters the picture business, but no one will buy his postcard. He decides to settle in California, but he can't make up his mind whether to live in Cucamonga or in Azusa. Both Cucamonga and Azusa are anxious to have famous movie or radio stars live in their fair cities, so they say,
Send them to Pomona.
And Pomona joyously says,
over my dead body.
So Bob settles down in Glendale incognito. Robert... Robert now finds it... Robert now finds it tough sledding, but he continues to forge on.
I tell you, Louis, we can copy the signature.
He looks for a job at Warner Brothers. He gets a break and makes his first picture. The picture is reviewed by the critics. He looks for a job at Paramount. Bob's great success continues in Hollywood, and finally, Bob Hope decides to hire a valet. He interviews applicants.
Are you a gentleman's gentleman?
Yes, sir, but in your case, I'm willing to make an exception.
So he hires Edward Everett Horton as his valet. He needs someone to bring him his meals while he's seeing Louisiana Purchase. And now we look in on Bob Hope in the new house he has just built. We find Bob in bed, and there's a fellow sleeping beside him, a man from the FHA. And now Robert's valet is awakened again.
Oh, Madeline Carroll, Madeline Carroll.
Time to get up, sir.
Lana Turner. Lana Turner.
Time to get up, sir.
Zazu Pitts. Well, now it's time to get up. What is it, Edward?
Sir, I have a hot tub ready.
A hot tub? Ain't we got enough tubs without you stealing another one?
You don't understand, sir. I have drawn your bath. It's ready for you.
Very good. Now, did you draw the bath exactly as I instructed?
Yes, sir, but I was a bit confused on one point. Are you supposed to get in the tub first, sir? Or shall I put in the frogs first?
The idea of putting frogs in my bath. Don't you know they'll frighten the gophers away? Well, now, let's see if the bath... Which one are you working on? Well, now, let's see if the bath is the right temperature for me.
Oh, it's just right, Mr. Holt. Just right. Now, you get in.
Edward, do you have my clothes ready for me to slip into after my bath?
Oh, yes, sir. Here you are, sir. Your slippers, your robe, your bath towel, and... Oh, I have the most wonderful surprise for you this morning, sir.
Really? What is it, Edward?
I've repainted your sailboat.
Oh, goody.
Now, go on. Go on now.
All right.
Get in the tub.
Don't push me. I'll get in. Hand me my water wing. Well, here I am, and the water is just right.
Sir?
Yes, yes. What is it, Edward?
Well, perhaps it's none of my business, sir, but don't you think you're getting too big for the shrink?
Well, we can't use the bathtub. That's where I'm hoarding my sugar. Say, wait a minute. This tub seems a little crowded, and I don't like crowded tubs.
All right, I'll get out, but what a lousy host you are.
Skinny, get out of this tub and hand me that piece of ivory floating soap.
Oh, gee, and just when I was having such fun riding around on it.
Say, Edward, we better hurry. I've got to go to the premiere of Madeline Carroll's new picture, Bahamas Passages. Well, I have. Got to go to the premiere of Madeline Carroll's new picture, Bahamas Passages, this evening. Say, did Maddie call me yet?
Yes, sir. Everything.
Oh, well, I phoned for a cab a half an hour ago. I can't understand why it isn't here. Quick, give me the phone.
Oh, but sir, now, if you take the telephone while you're in the bath, while you're in the bathtub, you might get a shock of 5,000 volts.
Oh, nonsense. Hand me the phone. Well, don't stand there. Wipe my footprints off the ceiling.
Hello, this is the taxi cab company.
This is the taxi cab company?
Yeah, the competitor.
Who is this anyway?
Cab driver Colonna speaking. Expert at the wheel, master of steering, and daredevil driver, P.S. If you want to cross Sunset Boulevard, I'll hang up now.
Look, Colonna, you were supposed to be here half an hour ago to take me to Madeline Carroll's premiere.
Don't worry, I'll be there in just a few minutes now, Hope. First, I've got to take this elephant to Camp Roberts.
Colonna, why would an elephant want to go to Camp Roberts?
What could he do? He was between 21 and 35.
Colonna, you're acting silly. Do you feel all right?
Of course, I'm in good condition. I always keep myself in the punk.
Colonna, pink.
Punk.
Pink.
Punk.
Pink.
Oh, let's call it table tennis and the heck with it.
Such talk. Colonna, where's your brain?
Working nights at Lockheed. Say, Hope, if you haven't got anything to do tonight, how about you and me playing a nice game of tiddly-tink?
You mean tiddly-wink?
Tink.
Wink.
Tink.
Wink.
Oh, anyone listening to the program knows it's tink.
Beautiful. That's it. Oh, you dumb. Professor, stop fooling. I thought you were going to pick up Madeline Carroll and bring her over here.
Let me get this straight, Hope. You want me to pick up Madeline Carroll, and after I get Madeline Carroll in my cab, you expect me to bring her over to you?
Yes.
What do I do after that? Appear on Hobby Lobby?
Oh, well, if Maddie won't go with me, I'll go with Betty Hutton. Now, come on, Valid. Finish baiting me. I have to be at the opening of Bahama Passage.
Why?
My doctor said I needed a change of features. Get on with my bath, Edward. Now you may scrub my feet.
Yes, sir. There you are, Master. There you are. I finished washing your feet. Would you take your socks off now?
Okay, should I take my underwear off, too?
Yes. Come, sir. This time. Let's rough it.
All right. Now, where's the soap? I'd like to soak myself up.
You up.
Who was that?
Cecil B. DeMille. Gee, Edward, I'm glad I'm going out tonight. I guess I'm pretty popular. Have you noticed the way Madeline Carroll and Hedy Lamarr and Dorothy Lamour are always around me?
Yes, I have noticed it, sir. What a beautiful job of tattooing.
Hello?
Hello, this is cab driver Colonna, master of transportation, expert driver of safety cabs, guardian of public conveyances, also special rates for running over Japs.
Colonna, you were supposed to be here long ago in your taxi. Where are you?
Well, Hope, I'm on a very winding street. I think I went a couple of blocks out of my way. Just a minute. There's a street sign here.
What does it say?
Hey, Hope, where's the Burma Road?
Kelowna, stop fooling. You can't be on the Burma Road.
Chinese woman driver.
Stop fooling. You couldn't possibly drive on the Burma Road.
Why not? My license is good anywhere in the Los Angeles city limits.
Never mind that. Just get here quickly.
All right, Hope. I'll be over as soon as I can. Right now, I'm over here greasing my car. It's all the way up on top of one of those grease pits, and I'm standing under it.
Colonna, you better get out from under your car. Only mechanics know how to work those things.
Don't be silly, Hope. Watch. I'll lower it very slowly. I'll have plenty of time to get out of the way.
Colonna.
Just call me Flathead.
Colonna? Take heed and you'll last a lot longer.
Give me Lockheed and I'll retire for life.
Well, I'll finish my bath.
You're a little overweight, aren't you, sir?
Well, what makes you think I'm overweight?
Well, it's the first time I ever saw anybody take a bath while their pot tummy took a shower at the same time. Are you enjoying your bath, sir?
Oh, fine. You know, Edward, this isn't the first time I've been in hot water.
You know, Bob, this is the first time in my career that I've ever felt an impulse to shove my employer's head underwater. I think I shall shove your head under.
Well, what can I do, folks? He's got a union. Well, that's enough for the bath. Gee, Eddie, I want to look my best tonight. Let's not overlook any details.
No, sir. Do you think the electric curler is a little too hot?
Yeah, besides, you're holding it too close to my chest. Well, I'll get dressed. Hand me my garters.
Of course, sir. Which ones do you want, sir? The Paris garters or the ones that hang down from your girdle?
Both. I don't want anything to go wrong tonight. Where's my electric shaver?
Well, I don't know what you did with it, sir, since the night you spelled Pepsodent in the Oriental rug.
Yeah, then I tried to clean off the Pepsodent with a vacuum cleaner. It was the first time I ever saw a Hoover foam at the mouth. Now, Edward, open the closet and get my dinner jacket out.
Yes, sir. Ooh, my moths. Goodness, these moths are really up to date.
Are they eating my tuxedo?
No, sir, they're flying over it and bombing it with mothballs.
Well, come on. I want to be at my best tonight in case I see Maddie. Go over to me once with that atomizer.
Okay. There, sir, there. Is that enough, or will you have another... Well, will you have another squirt?
Eddie, you just moved the decimal point on your salary check. I'll just dab myself with some of this OD cologne. There, I spilled quite a bit on. Take a deep breath, Edward. How does that smell?
Oh, pretty good, sir. But you're still coming through.
I want to be well-dressed tonight, Edward. Remember, this is an important affair, so put out my best clothes. I want to walk in there feeling solid.
There, sir. There now. How is that? Do you feel solid?
No, lace me tighter.
I can't lace you tighter, sir. You've got more bustle than I've got muscle.
Look, Edward, I'm taking you to the premiere with me, and we better go outside and wait for the cab. Oh, here comes the cab now. Yoo-hoo!
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 Yoo-hoo! Now, wait a minute. Who's picking up who?
Hey, taxi, stop. Slow down.
Don't worry, I'll slow down. I save tires. I save brakes, too.
Listen, Kolota, can you drive us to the Paramount Theater?
Certainly. Do you know the shortest way to get there?
No.
Good, then we'll go my way.
Well, tell me, Kolota, how much do you charge?
Well, listen closely, Hope, and I'll give you the complete information on our rats.
I think we went too far. I'm almost afraid to start this. Kolota, you mean rates.
Rats.
Rates.
Rats.
Rates.
Listen, I know our rates and we're rats.
Well, let's get going. Hop in, Edward.
Oh, dear me. Are you sure you want to ride in this terrible conveyance, Mr. Hope?
Say, Hope, who is this lollipop?
Why, Professor, this is Edward Everett Horton, my valet.
Oh, yes, now I recognize him by his complexion.
By my complexion?
Yes, I saw you in that picture. How green was my valet? How green was my valet? Well, I can always get a job in an airplane factory. Say, Hope, you've been very good to me, and if you let me go to Madeline Carroll's picture with you, I'll buy tickets for all of us. How much are they?
Well, it's a premiere. They're $5
each. $5
each? Mm-hmm.
Then, shall we say, Dutch treats?
Look, Kolota, can you take the two of us over to the Madeline Carroll premiere?
Of course I can, brothers. Of course I can, brothers.
Well, there'll never be a shortage of corn.
Oh, Bob, really, you're just self-conscious. Say, a driver, what are those oranges doing on your radiator?
They can't afford a smudge pot.
This is a peculiar cab. I see you've got a minesweeper on the front bumper.
Yes, I take passengers anywhere.
Well, come on, Eddie, let's get in. Start the motor, Corner.
The motor? You mean other cabs have motors?
Why, certainly.
No wonder I feel so tired. I have to pedal all day.
Come on, now, hurry over to Betty Hutton's house. We're taking her to the picture, too.
Well, if you're in a hurry, we'll fly there.
Well, this is the silliest thing I ever heard of, a taxi cab flying.
This sounds rather impossible, doesn't it?
What was that?
Fourth interceptor command.
Kolota, how long have you been driving a cab?
Oh, about 4 days, four nights, and 1,500 pedestrians.
1,500 pedestrians? How is that possible?
No steering wheel.
Well, look, have you got a driver's license?
If I get a driver's license, I guess next thing you'll be asking me if I know how to drive. Say, which one of these things is the brake?
Kolota, you're in a class by yourself.
What can I do? The teacher doesn't want to promote me.
Bob, look. Look at how that meter is ticking.
Yeah, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40. Kolota, just a minute.
Yes?
How come that meter adds up so quickly?
Went to night school.
I should go, too. Kolota, what makes you act like this?
Well, I never tell this to anyone, Hope, but you see, I was born with four heads.
Four heads? Kolota, it's absolutely impossible for anyone to have four heads.
Care to hear a few bars of Rigoletto?
Hey, driver. There's where Betty Hutton lives. She lives on the 20th floor of that tall building there.
20th floor?
Yes.
All right, but I'll have to shift in a second.
Kolota, you're going to drive a cab up the side of a 20-story building? How do you do that?
Ah, that's the question. That's the answer.
Ah, this must be Betty's house. She said she'd leave a light burning in the window. Is that a light burning, Edward?
No, it looks more like a smudge pot. Or her.
Wait here, I'll ring the bell.
Oh, Digby Dagger with a dog and dude!
Hop in the cab, Betty. Well, hello, Betty.
Hi.
Well, hello, Betty.
Hiya, Robin.
Wait a minute, Betty. My name is Robin. A robin is a bird that lays eggs.
Hiya, Robin.
Betty, you know Edward Everett Hort. I mean, Eversharp Edward. I mean, Betty, meet Eddie.
Hello. Gee, you look swell tonight, Mr. Horton.
Thank you. And how do you think Bob looks?
Thanks, Betty.
Gee, I'm embarrassed, Bob. I don't know what to do. I had a date with Skinny Ennis tonight, too, so I stood him up, and gee, now I'm worried.
Why, that's nothing, Betty. Lots of girls stand fellas up. Why are you so worried about standing Skinny up?
Well, any minute he might fall down.
Hey, Hope, what's going on there with you and Betty? Are you necking with her?
Oh, no, Kolota.
Are you hugging her?
Oh, no, Kolota.
What are you waiting for? Blackout?
Listen,
listen, Professor, just attend to your driving.
Okay, Hope, we're coming to a crossroad, and on my left is a big truck coming at me 60 miles an hour.
Colonna, stop and let the truck go through first.
Hope, if the truck is on my left, that means I have the right of way. And if I have the right of way, that truck has to stop for me. Here goes. Think anybody believes this?
Hey, why don't you tend to your driving, loaded lip?
Okay, lady. But tell me, are you going out with these two fellows tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, you can always take it off your income tax.
Oh, never mind, Colonna. Betty, say, I hear you've been having dates with Skinny Ennis. When did you see Skinny last?
This afternoon. He wanted to show me how brave he was, so I went along with him to a recruiting station while he tried to enlist in the Marines.
What happened?
Oh, they rejected Ennis and took me.
You've met Skinny Ennis, haven't you, Edward?
Oh, yes. He's the only chap who makes me look rugged.
Say, Bob, that's a nice suit you're wearing. Does Costello know you borrowed it?
Now, wait a minute, Betty. I was pretty careful getting dressed tonight, and I think I look trade disengaged.
Disengaged? Bob, if I weren't a lady, I'd pronounce that the way it should be pronounced.
Oh, come on, relax, Betty. We're going to have a good time at a premiere tonight.
Yeah, I could tell we were going to premiere, Bob.
How?
I see you're carrying your curved stick for tripping autograph hounds.
So you guys in the back of the cab, are you kissing that girl?
Nope.
Are you holding hands with her?
Nope.
Are you hugging her?
Nope.
Want to get out and wait for the bus?
Look, why don't you mind your own business, fuzzy face?
You can tell me, lady. Which one of those guys is kissing you?
When a lady sits in a cab, a gentleman doesn't kiss her.
That's right. When a lady sits in a cab, a gentleman doesn't kiss her.
Hey, Hope, we bums have all the fun, don't we?
Colonna, hurry up and drive us to the theater.
Okay, I'm driving as fast as I can. Say, look, there's a fellow in a blue suit on a motorcycle. He's trying to race me.
Colonna, that's a motorcycle cop, and he isn't trying to race you.
Came in second.
Oh, but here comes another cop. Oh, my goodness, Mr. Hope. When I go out with you, there's never a dull moment except for your jokes.
Gee, you're right. Here comes another cop.
Okay, Bud, pull up to the curb.
Yes, officer.
Now tell me, Bud, where do you think you're going, to a fire?
Yeah, we're going to a fire. What about it?
Well, take me. I'm just a big squirt.
Let's go. Say, Professor, how come you've got so much gas?
I was 26 years old before my mother burped me.
Bob, really, really. This cab driver is impossible.
Oh, no, I'm Colonna. Impossible doesn't come on to the night shift.
Really, preposterous.
Yeah, that's his second name.
Well, come on, Colonna, hurry to the theater.
Hang on tight, everybody.
Well, Colonna, why are we going through backyards and among trees and jumping over hedges?
Facing a Japanese gardener.
Colonna, be careful.
We are now passing through the business district. We are now passing through the May Company. See on this corner ahead, Hope, is the oldest cop on the police force. He's been directing traffic here for 55 years in wind and rain and snow. And tomorrow, he's going to be promoted to captain. Didn't quite make it, did he?
Well, hurry, Professor. I see the theater down the street. Gosh, the theater is really jammed. Just look at that traffic jam.
Leave it to me, Hope. I'll just try the right lane. Well, I'll try the left lane. Maybe backwards would be better. Needless to say, I'm open to suggestions.
Say, look, Professor, there's a clear lane to the movie theater. Drive right up to the entrance.
You bet. I'll drive you right up to the front of the movie theater. Say, lady, will you take off your hat? I can't see the picture.
And send to the memory each tuner and her friend. Upon you we depend. And if our miking's to your liking, we all bound bend. So thank you so much. And thanks for the memory of Edward Horton's twist as fun productionist. Your jokes provoke the laughs from folks to fill a lengthy list. And thank you so much. Folks of Bond will buy shell, shot, and powder. Keep our planes and our guns roaring louder. Smiles of safety could never be prouder. when Pepsodent. Your smile's defense.
Next week, folks, we'll be back at the same time broadcasting from the Navy base at San Diego. With Jerry Colonna, Francis Langford, Betty Hutton, Skinny Ennis, the Six Hits and a Miss, and all the gang, and
Bob Hope.
Thank you, Ben Gage. Good night, everybody.
Ben Gage speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.